This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Uber hires a high-powered investigator to look at allegations of sexual harassment. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There's news that Uber's CEO Travis Kalanick has hired former U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to investigate allegations of sexual harassment at the ride-sharing company. Kalanick told employees in a memo yesterday that the review will be conducted in short order. A former Uber programmer had written a piece claiming that Uber's human resources department had not properly responded to evidence of harassment that she had sent them. Marketplace's Adam Allington is following this. Adam?
Uber has a huge market presence, and they've acted decisively here. People know Eric Holder from his time as the attorney general under the Obama administration. And it's worth contrasting this move with other big-time companies that have hired lawyers of Holder's bona fides to defend themselves in court, not investigate the company itself. Look at Roger Ailes, the disgraced former CEO of Fox News, who hired Susan Estrich, the iconic feminist lawyer, to represent him in his sexual harassment case. Or even Apple, which brought on heavyweight attorney Ted Olson to lead the company's legal challenge during its dispute with the FBI to unlock the San Bernardino shooter's iPhone. So here it appears Uber's trying to get out ahead of this rather than risk even bigger collateral damage down the road.
I suppose this move could also be designed to help Uber's public image.
I mean, look, Uber hasn't really had a great quarter in terms of PR. First, you had the fallout when Kalanick joined President Trump's Economic Advisory Council last December, which he has since left. Then in January, Uber was criticized for turning off surge pricing to JFK Airport during a protest of Trump's immigration ban. It's worth noting, however, Uber remains the dominant player in the U.S. ride-hailing market with more than 80% of market share.
Marketplace's Adam Allington in Washington. Thank you. The biggest bank in Europe, HSBC, today revealed a 62% drop in its profits for last year as it locked into its accounting ledgers the costs of overhauling the bank. HSBC's stock was down about 6% in early U.S. trading after the company reported a profit of about $7 billion last year compared to nearly $19 billion a year earlier. BBC business correspondent Russell Padmore notes that fortune has generally favored U.S. over European banks.
Last year, the combined profits of the top three U.S. banks, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America and Wells Fargo, reached $65 billion, more than the market values of European rivals Deutsche Bank and Credit Suisse. President Donald Trump's plan to roll back banking regulation by reviewing the Dodd-Frank law has boosted investor confidence in U.S. banks, which are now working with an advantage over foreign rivals like HSBC. The European Union insists banks keep more capital in reserve to prevent the need for them to be bailed out by taxpayers. This ties up assets that could be used to fund expansion or increase lending. HSBC has cited the uncertainty over the impending British exit from the European Union for part of its problems. However, the bank has also paid out more than $1 billion to end a lawsuit over misleading investors about U.S. subprime mortgage assets, and it's been under scrutiny in the U.S. for lax money laundering safeguards.
You know, on the IRS tax form, where you can check off $3 to fund presidential campaigns, now Seattle is trying this for local elections. City residents get four $25 vouchers, which they can assign to the city council candidate of their choice. Anna Boyko-Wyrock watched this in action.
The dark blue slips of paper arrived in Seattle resident Dakota Solberg's mailbox recently.
It was like getting a little check from your grandma.
But the vouchers, totaling $100, can only be spent on candidates. Solberg has never contributed to local races before.
This feels like just extra money that I can use to start participating more.
He hopes others get more involved, too. Around 1% of Seattle adults contribute to local politics. In 2015, voters overwhelmingly approved a ballot measure creating democracy vouchers. Wayne Barnett is the executive director of the Seattle Ethics and Elections Commission, which runs the program.
Really, the intent behind it was to get people involved who had not ever made a contribution to a city candidate.
And to encourage new candidates to run, too. People who couldn't raise enough money otherwise. The city is spreading the word through mailers in 14 languages and radio spots.
Seattle's Democracy Voucher Program.
Vales Democráticos.
Seattle residents send the vouchers to their favorite candidates, who can only redeem them if they abide by spending limits. The program is funded through property taxes. In all, the city budgets $3 million a year for vouchers. But that doesn't include administrative costs.
So city employees, mailing, printing.
Robert Mahon is a former chair of the Seattle Ethics and Elections Commission. He opposed the initiative, in part because it costs taxpayers 50 cents in overhead for every dollar in vouchers.
And you weigh that against the benefits. And I think the benefits are probably very slight, if any.
Mahon says Seattle city races were already competitive. And he suspects people who aren't politically aware won't be pulled in. Seattle resident Patrick Bagona threw his vouchers away.
I don't need them.
Bagona's fed up with politics and says he doesn't vote. Other Seattle residents have already started using their vouchers for the August primary. They have until November to send them in. In Seattle, I'm Anna Boyko-Wyrock for Marketplace.
And a teachable moment today on unintended consequences as China tries to keep capital from going away with the U.S. dollar rising. China's Dalian Wanda Theater and Real Estate conglomerate wants to buy the late Dick Clark's production company for $1 billion. But now the Wall Street Journal says that deal has stalled out because Chinese regulators are intensely scrutinizing any deal where more than $1 million is invested overseas. Chinese companies went on a $225 billion overseas buying spree last year, but in the current climate, that spree has ended. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.